Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's a little cloudy outside. I'm not loving the weather today. I don't know.
I mean, it's not what we've had.
Yeah.
This is fine. Like,
it's okay.
We're going to have one day like this in there.
I mean, I get it. I was telling you before we came in today, I'm in such a pot roast mood.
Oh, yeah.
I need it to be like 60 degrees outside.
Me and my girlfriend made a bolognese last night, and she also decorated for the fall. So, like, I come home and there's pumpkins everywhere. It smells like a bakery in the house because of the candles and stuff. And there's like, we put up like the Halloween, not the Halloween lights, but like the orange lights around like our windows and everything. And I'm man, it just feels spooky in here. But it's September 17th and it's 82 degrees outside. Like, what am I going to do with this? You know,
I'm like,
where are my flannels? Where's, you know, let's go out and have a bonfire. But
speaking of that, my girlfriend has gotten me a few flannels. I've never been a flannel guy. Might change this year. It might change.
Good. I'm glad. You're living life correctly.
We're going to see. I'm a little excited to try it out.
There's going to be a flannel that you find, and it's...
I think I already own it.
Oh, good.
I think I already own it.
Because I have three of them where I'm like, I'm wearing this every day.
This is the one.
It's they're stylish, they're comfortable, they're warm, they're also not too warm.
Yeah.
They're perfect for the fall. That's my go-to fall shirt. Like, October 1st, anyone that sees me here or anywhere else, I will be wearing flannels.
It's exclusive.
I have one for each day of the week, and
it's
then
exclusive.
I just rotate them.
Yep. I mean, that's how you do it. Yeah. Very, very college student of you to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because why?
I mean, I still do the whole college thing where it's like, I wear jeans like 2-3 times a week, and then I'll wash them.
Yeah, well, that's jeans though. Like, jeans are so different. Like, they're.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
From flannels, they're that different.
Oh, I thought you meant like from like other
or
like,
hoodies.
I thought you meant from other pants.
That like, too. Hoodie season.
Hoodies are wearable unless you get something on them. You can just wear hoodies forever.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. But like I'm the shorts I'm wearing right now. I would not put these shorts on again tomorrow.
No.
And I can't explain why.
Yep.
It just doesn't feel right.
I totally get it.
It's weird.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. 803-0550 is the number to call. I want to throw this out there right now. Bills are 2-0. How believable do you think this is? How realistic is it, the start they've had? And what have you been most impressed by so far this season? We will, of course, look for your calls as the show goes on. At 11 o'clock, we will be joined by Paul Hamilton.
Hey. Also, speaking of Paul Hamilton, Buffalo Sabres, Elliot Friedman.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Elliot Friedman tweeting out about 10, 15 minutes ago, hearing that Peyton Krebs and Buffalo are closing in on an extension. Sounds like around 2 years, $1.45 million per year.
So we will get Paul's thoughts on that. And
sounds like they're finally getting an extension for Peyton Krebs.
Which is good, because their first preseason game is what, Saturday?
Saturday, which... That's insane.
I love
Where did that come from?
But that's something I do enjoy with hockey season. Like with football season especially, it seems like it takes forever for us to get to kind of where we're at now.
Yeah.
There's so many little things now, that build up to it. Where hockey has its own little things as well, but then when it's time for preseason, when it's time for the season to start ramping up, it's here before you realize it.
Right, and I also want to point out that we were all waiting for this NFL season to start, and week two is over.
Yeah.
What?
Very quickly, all of a sudden.
You blink and it's gone.
Like, I was sitting there, I was talking with my dad last night too, where I'm just like, I'm so glad football is back to where we can have honest conversations, not just looking at, you know, expectations or predictions or crazy thoughts based off stats. Last year, I know I fall into that category. I know a lot of us fall into that category.
Here's a thought for
and
you.
And I can sit here and go, the Saints! Who'd have thought?
Here's an honest thought for you. The Eagles are frauds, and they always have been.
The Eagles might kind of suck. They're 1-1.
No, I think they do. I think it's mostly on Nick Sirianni.
Oh, he's so bad.
I really do. I mean,
did you watch the end of that game last night?
I didn't watch the end. I stayed up for, I was watching like the second and third quarters, and then obviously I saw what happened, and how do you make that mistake?
It's coaching malpractice.
You look at, you know, ESPN has like the win percentage meter.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that percentage meter take such a sharp turn up.
Oh, you got to watch college football, man. That happens once a week.
I know, but in the NFL, you never see that happen unless it's the 13 seconds game.
13 seconds. The Tennessee versus Miami game from last year was one of them.
But I mean, the Eagles had this game locked down.
Mm-hmm.
You literally just had to run the ball and let the clock do its thing and then just kick the field goal. It's not that hard.
Looking back at that final sequence for the Eagles, on first down, Saquon Barkley, this is with 1:56 left. Atlanta is going to run out of timeouts here pretty soon into this. 4-yard rush, Atlanta timeout. 2nd and 6, Saquon Barkley, a 3-yard rush, Atlanta timeout again. Then Philly takes a timeout. And then they inexplicably throw the ball. You're on Atlanta's 10.
And then you throw it again.
That's my thing. Well, so you throw it on third. You threw it on third down. It's ultimately a drop, and it goes to fourth down. Just go for it.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought you were a few plays back still.
For me, that 3rd and 3 play, I also would have ran it. I would have ran it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill more clock, but because they don't have any timeouts, you gave them a free one by throwing the ball, and then you kick the field goal.
Right.
Even though you don't make it. Let's say you rushed 2 yards and you ultimately don't get it. You're yard short. They've got to drive over 90 yards to hopefully kick a field goal to send the game into overtime. They have no timeouts. And then, so after effectively the field goal of death, they go into the most prevent defense I've ever seen. Here's the plays for Atlanta after getting the kickoff. 11-yard pass to Kyle Pitts, 21-yard pass to Darnell Mooney, 26-yard pass to Darnell Mooney, 5-yard pass to Drake London, an incomplete pass, the touchdown pass, a 7-yarder to Drake London. It is over in a blink of an eye. I have not seen a team that is talented. I do think the Eagles are talented. Mm-hmm. Just fall apart. I mean, to the point where Joe Buck yesterday was on the broadcast, he sounded stunned.
Well, yeah, and it was also so mind-boggling just to look at the aftermath, too. Because Jeremy was talking about this morning. Nick Sirianni, in his postgame, was basically like, yeah, I need Jalen to do something different there. Like, if the play doesn't work, he's got to not throw the ball. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Why make that play call then?
I guess his explanation was that if he wasn't immediately wide open, run the ball.
Yeah, but like,
like, I would have just never put him in. We're running the ball.
Right. Don't even put that. I get it. He was a runner-up for the MVP 2 years ago. Whoop-de-doo.
I would say the same thing with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, a quarterback.
Yeah.
Just run the ball
right
there.
And either of them would probably do the same thing. I think if you look at any coach in the NFL, almost any coach in the NFL, they run the ball there.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm lost on Nick Sirianni. From everything from last year, from all the offseason stuff between him and Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. He can be a good quarterback in certain situations. But there comes a point where you have to say, hey, this is not your job right now. We just paid this running back to come here and run the ball.
Yeah.
The whole joke of, well, Joe Shane doesn't want to pay you, but we will. Okay, well then put him in the situation where he's best utilized. He's dropped 16 passes since 2021 on however many targets.
It was just it was inexplicable loss because again you could have just destroyed the clock by running again and then going for it on fourth down, and ultimately again if you don't get it, they can't stop the clock. They right. would have to then rush onto the field and immediately get
and
going.
They have 20 yards further to go than they did in that kickoff. Yep. The kickoff they only had 70 yards. This one they would have had about 90.
And then,
also, quick.
Oh yeah, go.
Official from the Sabres, Peyton Krebs, 2-year deal, $1.45 million per year.
Oh, don't you love that when like the contracts are just like, why is there so many numbers here?
The tweet in my notifications like cut off at the 1.4.
Oh, that's good.
And then I was like, oh, let's make sure.
There we go.
No, so yep, 2 years, $1.45 million for Peyton Krebs.
So that's good. Again, at 11 o'clock, we will talk to Paul Hamilton about that and also the prospect challenge, which wrapped up yesterday. Ultimately, they went up, I think, with 13 forwards, 5 defensemen yesterday. But Yuri Kulik had himself a tournament that just makes you think he's got to be on the Sabres this year. Like, this is the year he makes that ascension. And we, of course, are also taking your calls. 803-0550 is the number to call. With really today's topic being on the Bills, we are through 2 weeks, as Josh has mentioned. It came out of nowhere. How confident are you in the Bills' 2-0 start? We do have teams in the AFC that many would have considered there towards the end at 0-2, namely Baltimore and Cincinnati. And I would argue at this point now, just based off of how the NFL has gone over the years, good chance one of those two teams is not making the playoffs after a bad start. Yes, both have lost to Kansas City, and you could argue both probably could have won those games if just a little bit went different. But they ultimately fall to 0-2, namely because they both lost to bad teams as well. I mean, Baltimore losing to the Raiders because they decide they don't want to run the ball anymore. In an era now in the NFL, at least in a year in the NFL, where running the ball seems to be a good idea.
And I also remember in the offseason, too, Zamir White, the running back for the Raiders, was like, I mean, this is on the Raiders side, not the Ravens side. But still, none of these teams are like effectively running. Right, I feel like there's few that are, but
there's
it feels like the offenses in the NFL right now are just very confused at what to do.
I'm up and down on Baltimore and like what I want to say with them. I'm sitting now on something that I heard Dan Orlovsky say yesterday on Get Up. It's Baltimore is just so easily decipherable. They're very clear in what they're doing.
Well, they've been doing the same thing for.
Well, it's more along the lines of when Derrick Henry's on the field, they're running the ball. When Justice Hill's on the field, they're going to pass the ball. And there's just no differences. And so Vegas essentially was able to key up on Henry every time he was in. And I think ultimately he had ended up like a pretty good statistical day. Mm-hmm. But every time he was on the field, like they knew, don't worry about the pass. It's going to be a run. Either Lamar's going to keep it or it's going to Henry. And then when Hill's on the field, it's a pass. Zay Flowers still had a great day. Statistically, I think Lamar had a good day, but that was a disaster. And then for Cincinnati, their week one game, look, New England doesn't look as bad as maybe a lot of us thought they'd be. They fought hard with Seattle ultimately dragging that game to overtime, and then they did beat Cincinnati. But the Bengals never looked even remotely interested in playing the game. And then when you go to Kansas City, all of a sudden they're up and ready to go. But you have a Ja'Marr Chase freakout that ultimately costs them 15 yards. That kind of kills that drive. You have a iffy penalty, I would have called it. I get the situation. No one really wants to see it. But the defender is early by quite a bit. He does cause issues. I understand the whole fighting for the ball. I do get it. But I can understand the call as well. It's not the Chiefs get calls. I mean, this is welcome to good teams don't make mistakes. And inexplicably, whenever the Chiefs play somebody, everyone makes bad mistakes. We see it as Bills fans. The Ravens did it last year in the AFC Championship game. It happens quite often. But both those teams now are 0-2, and I think there's a really good chance now. One of those teams is not making the playoffs, and that is a team that if you're the Bills sitting at 2-0 going, sweet, I'd love to not play them. Are you kidding me? That'd be nice. And then, you have the Chiefs. The Chargers actually don't look that bad. Talent-wise, I think they're up and down, but Harbaugh, again, is kind of just Harbaugh. He's a good program builder, whether it be the NFL or college. It seemingly has happened a lot faster than I thought it would. I didn't know if they had the talent, but they've got Quentin Johnston out here catching touchdowns. What do you mean he can catch? Right. That's where I'm at. What do you mean he can catch?
Last year, it looked like the ball was going away from him when he tried to catch it. It looked like he had reverse magnets in his hand.
Oh, it was bad. And then he has 2 touchdowns, one of which is a 50-50 ball. I mean, claps all around on that. I mean, I was, as somebody that was not really his biggest fan coming out of TCU, I'm not really a big TCU wide receiver fan. Jalen Reagor was another one. Good for him. If they found something in him and Ladd McConkey, and then the run game they seemingly have going on with Dobbins and Edwards, Baltimore castoffs, in case you were wondering. They basically have all of Baltimore's old running pieces, including Greg Roman at OC. Not bad. Not bad. Let's go to the phones here. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start with Tim today. Tim, how are we doing today?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm not bad, not bad. Hey, I got like two questions and another thing. So I'm going to the Houston game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills, and hopefully it's like they're both undefeated. It'd be awesome.
That's the hope. I really want that because of the storylines.
It'd also be so funny because it's a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday, and you have all of the storylines around that. Plus, they're both 4-0. Yeah. That'd be so good.
But yeah, we have Jacksonville on Monday Night Football.
And now Coles Beasley was a tough runner, you know, and is like Shakir kind of like the same thing.
I think that's kind of where I'm at, Tim. Honestly, like I see Shakir as more of he's the taller, more athletic version of Beasley. If that's kind of what the Bills are looking at too, I think he can play a little bit on the outside. I don't know how much the Bills are ever going to actually use him there, but you've seen it already this year, 8 targets, 8 catches, and they haven't really been forced to throw the ball more. I mean, he also feels like a guy who, maybe not like a Malik Nabers game over the weekend where he had like 18 targets, but I could fully see a few games this year where he's in double-digit targets and has himself like 8-9 catches because he seems to be the most trustworthy guy by a mile for Allen.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, what about like that cap, you know, that dead cap we hit with Diggs at 28, I think it was? Is that why we don't have a number one right now?
I think it's more along the lines of just that's kind of where they're going. Tim, thanks for the call. It's more... It hits now, and then it's freed up next year. They're ripping the Band-Aid off now. In terms of not having a number one, I think that's more by design.
Right. I think as we're seeing the season go along, that's kind of what they wanted almost.
Yeah, it seems to be way more by design.
I think this whole, you know, cap situation the Bills are in right now, as you said, it's all going to free up next year. It's kind of like ripping the Band-Aid off now rather than dealing with it long term. And I mean, you look at the potential with guys like Khalil Shakir, James Cook,
mm-hmm.
Keon Coleman even, and on the defensive side as well, Christian Benford. I mean, there's names out there that are going to need contracts, and so you're also going to want to keep cap space for them.
Yeah, obviously, you're moving on to that next core.
Right.
You're trying to figure out now who's going to be a part of that next core.
Yeah, and things are going to change as time goes on, as seasons go on, in other aspects too, with other contracts, with other players coming and going. But I think honestly, more so the cap space is more for potential booms from these younger players. Mm-hmm. I think some of it is obviously going to be free agents and stuff like that. But if you look at, like I said, James Cook, Khalil Shakir, the way they're playing, they're going to warrant decent contracts.
I'm going to upset people. I hope the Bills do not pay James Cook 4 years and get out of there.
I think I'm with you, but I also, as long as you have a backup plan, if Ray Davis is your backup plan and he's working out, fine. But we also have time. We don't have to figure that out right now. It's not a issue right now for the Bills. It's not a pressing matter of like, hey, he needs a contract next offseason.
Yeah, this is year four. I mean, well, we are in year three, so you kind of got to figure.
Yeah.
You're going to kind of figure it out soon.
But it's not. I don't think it's going to be a situation where, like Jamar Chase, let's say. I mean, I'm not saying that James Cook and Jamar Chase are on the same level, but in terms of needing a contract the season before he's up, rather than like, you know, debating or what's the word? Negotiating. That's the word. Negotiating with him that offseason that he needs a contract. I think that's more likely than, you know, there's dramatics next offseason because James Cook won't sign a deal. I don't think that would be an issue.
I mean, it would be, you know, and no offense to Cook, it'd be a hell of a decision to hold out as a running back for a contract, especially when ultimately we're in an era now where he didn't even have 1,200 yards rushing last year, and he was the fourth leading rusher.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to say.
It is running back by committee. You really shouldn't have a guy who's your bell cow.
Yeah.
Unless they are a special talent, Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, Christian McCaffrey. Unless you have that kind of talent at running back, in which those guys are typically picked even at the position earlier than most would say they should be just because of their all-around ability to do things. And even then, Look, I'm a Texas guy. I love Bijan Robinson. I did not want the Bills to draft him. I didn't. And he looks amazing. He looks fantastic. But I'd have a hard time negotiating a contract after 5 years because he'd have the fifth-year option. I'd have a really hard time, even with how much I loved him at Texas.
Yeah, but no, to go back to the whole, you know, cap space contract conversation, I just think that with all of the things that happened with the Diggs trade and everything else this offseason, I feel like it's just heading in the direction of, the like you said, the new era, the next core. Who's going to be those pieces and what kind of deals are they going to need? And you want to have that flexibility. You don't want to be, you know, next offseason, well, we don't have cap space, but we need to sign three guys.
Yeah.
And if we cut all these guys, then, you know, now we have the debt. It's a whole thing for the Bills front office, and yeah. I think they did it the right way.
They've prepared themselves for the long term. The problem was, when it was happening, you just didn't know how this season was going to go. And to be fair, we are two games into this season.
Right,
Very much understand that. We are not even in October, obviously. I've already gone on my pot roast rant. I need it to be a little bit colder. But you are seeing that, hey, this team is talented. There are young players on this team that you can get excited about. We're also already seeing, you know, returns for the defensive line. Rousseau had a 3-sack game. Von Miller has only had 2 sacks, but it's been in 2 games, and he's looked dominant at times. Ed Oliver had a big moment against Miami as well. And then you look over on the offensive side of things, they've gotten their tackles both signed. Obviously, you have Allen. Cook, we have mentioned. I don't want to necessarily sign him to a second contract, but right now you're looking pretty good there. Shakir, we've already taken a call on him. I am massively high on him. And Kincaid ultimately hasn't done much, but he hasn't really been asked to. And on that point, reading some of your tweets, Buffalo Boy tweets in, what's impressed me is all three phases, and they've done it without too much Kincaid, Knox, and Samuel. And if those guys kick in, look out. I think that's right. Samuel, I think, in both games, is yet to play 30% of the snaps. And then Knox is one big catch from week one, where it was like a 24-yard catch. And Kincaid hasn't really had to do much. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all joked about in week one where he was, you know, quadruple covered.
Right, yeah.
But even against Miami, the game was over so quick, the Bills had less than 50 offensive snaps. So we really haven't gotten to see necessarily what this offense could be in, say, a shootout or anything like that, because they haven't had to do that.
I will say, though, it is interesting to see what's going on with Curtis Samuel. I really thought early on this year we were going to see a lot more from him, and he really hasn't been involved at all. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's an issue, but I wonder how much longer that's going to continue. Because I feel like, one, like you said, you haven't needed him, really. Mm-hmm. You've relied on Shakir, you've relied on Cook, and even Mac Hollins has stepped up and shown his ability.
I enjoy that he's not just a fun character,
right,
at least up to this point.
No, he's actually contributing. But with Samuel, I think it's just, is that, you know, kind of like an ace up your sleeve for later in the season? Is that a, you know, work him into the offense as it goes? Because as we've seen so far and as we've heard from Joe Brady, this is a very ever-changing offense, ever-evolving offense in terms of week by week going through different things. And is it just not Curtis Samuel's week yet, right? Is it just, it's not his time to be involved. It's not the team that he needs to be involved mm-hmm. against. And I think you might see him more against teams like the Jaguars, like the Ravens, or like, you know, the Chiefs and the 49ers. Like, those games are still yet to come. And I think that guys like Samuel and Kincaid are going to start showing up in those types of games.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I feel like this offense is going to just kind of bounce these guys around.
But you know what's impressive too, and I know Chris Brown has brought up as well on One Bills Live, is that, you know, we all kind of expected some early struggles from the team. That maybe this team could be more talented than the last few years.
Mina Kimes said this in the first week of the preseason, that this offense might struggle, but when it's on, it's going to be on.
Yeah, just it'll take some time. And I think that's what's made me most excited about the fact that they have started 2-0. They dismantled Miami even before Tua's concussion. That was not a game. Arizona, you had to come back, but the offense never really looked like it was struggling. It was a bad Allen turnover, and then your defense in the first half had a real hard time of giving the ball back to the offense. But they figured it out. They've scored over 30 points in the first two games, and it does kind of feel like, hey, the offensive struggles, they haven't shown up yet. And they've had to go to their depth already as well. And that's looked really good. So it has been a really nice sign of things to come that the expected early struggles have not had to rear their head yet. And if anything, you're leaving this going, this kind of feels legit. Now, they do have harder games upcoming. I've already mentioned Baltimore being 0-2, but it's still Baltimore. And I believe that's on the road as well. So you're going to be in Baltimore for a primetime game. That could be a tough road. Jacksonville, I've mentioned in a joke, but in all seriousness, I hate playing that team. They never play them well in my lifetime. It has all been ugly, disastrous, and I leave pissed off. And they're 0-2, and Trevor Lawrence is talking about how they suck, just outright. So I'm imagining a 20-19 loss. That's just where my head's at now, and I hate it. But I'm not looking forward to the Jaguars game. But if you get through that, I feel really, really good going through the rest of the season. You've built yourself a cushion. Well, teams like Baltimore and Cincinnati have not at all, and seemingly, you know, best way to put it, they are reeling and having a difficult time dealing with that. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll take your calls, read some of your tweets as well. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join. Talking the Bills 2-0 start. How legit do you see it going forward, especially with Jacksonville coming up Monday night and Baltimore after that? Zach Jones and Josh Mint here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
UGR.
Our team really went down there was focused on themselves in terms of, yes, respecting the opponent for sure. Really good opponent, yet also really focusing in on the things we could control and improving our game. And that was led by Josh and his leadership, of course. And I thought all three phases really factored into the win and played really just good, sound, physical football. So those are things we can look to build on as we move forward here.
There's Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about the balance on all three phases of the game. I don't know. The special teams kind of left a little bit to be desired, mainly due to the kickoff. Through 2 weeks, you give up one kickoff return. I'm going to be a little upset. Selfish of me, I understand, but I'm going to be a little upset. Especially because that Arizona game looks a bit better after 2 weeks. Looks a bit better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not great, because I think that was more Arizona going like, all right, we simply did not get the ball enough to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, and did you see his quote too? His quote was, yeah, there were four times I was targeted. I didn't catch it, so gotta figure that out.
And I'm pretty sure that was Kyler's four incompletions.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, chill out. It's okay. Like, you did great. You had two touchdowns. Like,
nope, I need my wide receivers to be slightly unhinged.
No, I'm here for it, but it's like, man.
That man saw four incompletions and went, nope, nope. Cannot have that ever again. I need that in my wide receivers.
I mean, you've heard what his dad says is like, there's the one thing that I wish he had from my game was complaining, like being a diva and complaining for the ball. If I don't get the ball, I know that's kind of weird. Like,
no, I get it. Because we'll all complain about it, but every wide receiver kind of should be. The alpha diva. They should. That guy that has like it's the same with cornerbacks. You want a dude that almost has like unnatural and uncomfortable confidence in themselves.
You know what though? There's a way to do that, right? Like there's a way to be the diva and the I want the ball guy.
Yeah.
And it's on the field.
Yeah.
Not off the field.
That's where
in my opinion.
I'm going to upset people. I think that's where Stephon Diggs kind of nailed it for most of his Bills career. He had moments on the field where like he was complaining and the cameras caught it, but off the field, outside of his every now and then super vague comments that you were like, can you just give a straight answer, please and thank you? And he wouldn't. He was perfect. Very rarely any problems. I mean, the problems kind of started when McDermott sort of stepped in it a little bit right before OTAs, and then even before that, there were some, you know, again, the vague comments by Diggs. But outside of that, that's sort of like the alpha number one receiver you sort of want. Keon Coleman sort of has the unhinged personality as well, where just all of a sudden he'll go from making a joke to like completely straight-faced. Mm-hmm. And like you're like, I have no idea if he's joking or not. This is really scary. Like you kind of need that a little bit.
Right. Yeah, you just need the... You never know what you're going to get. You need the Forrest Gump. Life's like a box of chocolates.
Matt Collins, who gives like life advice on Instagram every day. And it's good.
I follow him now. And he every once in a while, I pop up, hey, Max Maintenance Challenge here. And I'm like, this is great. He's teaching me how to... I don't even know. I think one of them was
like cleaning out pipes like in your sinks. Yeah. And it was like perfect. And it's just like...
There was another one where he's like,
so this
make
is a guy
sure
that doesn't wear
out.
Shoes and pours M&Ms in water? Okay.
Yeah, there's another one where it's like, make sure to clean out your garbage cans like once a month. And I'm like,
he's right.
Yeah. Why didn't I think of that? Like, I don't know. It's just, I like the personalities they have, but because they're able to be personalities, but also be, you know, serious and ready to go.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. How legit do you think the Bills' 2-0 start is to start this year? Let's go back to the phones. We've got John on the line. John, welcome to WGR. How are we doing today?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. If I do bet a little bit, but I'm not a gambler. I think on paper we should beat Jacksonville, which is why I'm worried about the game.
Totally with you.
Because the
Bills
always play down to their opponents. Lamar Jackson scares the hell out of me. I think that's probably a loss. So if they go 1-1 in the next two games, I'll be all right with that. So the other thing I wanted to comment on and why I really called is the Elam issue, if you call it that. I think it would be a mistake at this point to even consider letting him go. I would re-sign him for his fifth year unless they can find somebody with similar experience that they think is better that could fit in. And here's why. I call it the hunger factor. Having him on the squad and knowing that he feels like he is capable of being a starter but can't break in is going to make him a hungrier player. All right? The other part of it is, too, is it's like buying a house. Unless you know you have something to replace the house you're selling, don't sell the one you're in, all right, until you know you have another house. So I just think it would be a mistake to even consider getting rid of him right now, unless they can find somebody that they think can fill the bill better and has similar playing experience. You just can't take some guy that doesn't, you know, is on the practice squad on another team and slip him in there and think he's going to immediately be an impact player. And I just think keeping Elam would be a smarter choice at this point. So That's my thoughts.
Yeah, John, thanks for the call. The Elam conversation is interesting in the sense that going into this year, it has honestly felt like they are giving him a new lease on life. Like, it just turned the page. Those first 2 years didn't happen. You and the secondary coach didn't seem to see eye to eye. You are still the first round pick. Let's do everything we can to see if this works. He's not on the field, though. Ultimately, against Miami, he plays 8% of the defensive snaps. He plays 6 of them. I don't have what he played for week one, but that's not great. I think he's doing a lot more on special teams, and then it really doesn't help his case when Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford look to be one of the best cornerback duos in the league. And they're doing that, you know, for most of against Miami without Taron Johnson. Most of Arizona and all of Miami, they're doing that without Taron Johnson. They look incredible. Cam Lewis also himself looks very, very good filling in on that nickel corner role. I want to believe in Elam because he is a first-round pick, right, Josh? Like you want that guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because you don't want that investment to just go away.
But then in the same draft, you got Benford in the 6th round. And right. He's part of what I'm talking about is this really good cornerback duo. He's the other part of it. You got Rasul Douglas in a trade. It feels like Elam, and to pick up the 5th-year option, that's a lot of money that you're going to have to give to a guy that, like I said, I mean, through at least in week two, he played 6 snaps, 8% of the defensive snaps.
And I get it. As you said before, it's only week two, but at the same time, with Elam's history, we don't know where this is going to go.
Yeah,
there's no way to guess or speculate which way this is going to go, because there's been moments where Elam's flashed.
His rookie year, I thought he was very, very good.
Yeah, but it's just, I think that injury maybe set him back along with whatever was going on with the coaching that hopefully isn't there now. But I don't know. It's a little too early to tell, but it's also very, it's early to tell on both sides, right? Like it's too early to tell if you want to move on or if you want to keep him around.
Yeah.
Right, that's the hard part is I don't think we're going to know that until week 10. I feel like.
Yeah, you're going to have to get through most of this year, and even then, it's just, I mean, ugh. And then week one, Elam didn't get any snaps on the defense.
Yeah. And two, also.
So even the Miami thing, you can probably argue all those came like Cole Bishop's snap did, which is the game is over. All of our starters are out. Here are all the backups. And
to be fair, in the few snaps Cole Bishop got, he made some good plays.
He made a very good play in the end zone, absolutely. Yeah.
And granted, they're, you know, end of the game, garbage time-esque snaps. But
I'll
like,
take it.
Yeah.
Good reps.
You're right. But it's to the point with Elam where you don't want to give him a big contract based off 1 year, but you also don't want to move on from something potentially good. Because, again, it's a first-round pick.
I think there's a lot of hope there, but here, perfect example. I mean, it's in the news now, speaking of first-round picks, but first overall pick.
Bryce Young.
Carolina has just cut the cord. He's going to start again probably this year. They're going to be bad enough where it's like, we'll throw Bryce Young in there. For all intents and purposes, the Bryce Young era in Carolina, to me at least, is over. I know Dan Orlovsky said it on their pregame show yesterday. Carolina should, as quickly as possible, trade him for, you know, not quoting him, but that's effectively what he said was, trade him, it's done. That's where I'm at. I'm not saying the Bills should think about trading Elam. They do need depth. They've already had a number of injuries in the second or in on the defense. So I'd keep.
Yeah, so you always want to keep him around, but.
But I am also somebody, I'm not willing to spend 4 or 5 years waiting for a guy to develop. And maybe that's not fair to Elam because, again, maybe he just did not click with a coach for 2 years. But sticking with quarterbacks, the Giants, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young gets 18 starts and they're like, yeah, we're done. And part of that could probably be Carolina being fire happy. David Tepper, I get it. But it probably was also a good decision where we're on like almost 70 starts for Daniel Jones.
62. Well, 62 games.
62 games. And they are still trugging along.
62 games, 61 starts in 6 years. He has a record of 22-38-1 with just under 1,300 yards passing. 64 touchdowns, 42 interceptions.
He ain't good.
No.
He's not good.
No.
And so that's the thing. And a lot of any success came in his first year with Brian Daboll. But you're seeing coaching staffs are going to go down with that ship. Where Dave Canales.
He's also been sacked 185 times.
Oh, boy. that's a sack.
6 times this season.
Already?
In 2 weeks, he's been sacked 6 times.
That's Sam Howell numbers from last year right there. But I think there is also a healthy conversation of it's okay to admit a first or a second or a third round pick is missed and move on. I mean, again, ultimately, he played no snaps in week one and then 6 snaps in week two. Those 6 snaps, not knowing for sure, but thinking likely, came at the end of the game when they had backups in. Guys like Cole Bishop getting his first snaps of his career. You know, guys like Jamarcus Ingram are getting playing time over him.
Well, to be fair, Jamarcus Ingram had a great game.
I know, but that's my saying. Undrafted guys coming in.
I'm sorry. I thought you plays meant.
And Elam can't get on the field.
I understand now. My bad. I misunderstood what you were going.
Don't necessarily want to take it as a slight to Ingram, but it's just more.
No,
it's another late round or even undrafted guy coming in and doing significantly better than Elam. And to be fair, they both came
in at the same time.
Yeah.
And Ingram's in his third year.
And I will say this again. I think he had really good moments in his rookie year that was then frustrating in year two, where in training camp he was just not making any ground to the point where he was like the third, fourth cornerback on the depth chart, and you're sitting there going, what happened to this first round pick, the guy that was taking notes, the guy that McDermott looked like you'll love at first sight kind of deal? It was all gone, and it was very, very weird, sad situation. You've mentioned he also dealt with injuries, but he also was inactive a lot last year. You know, it was a bit of both, of just it was not working at all. I don't think they're going to move on from him this year. I also, though, wouldn't be surprised if at the trade deadline they moved him and a pick for a bigger move, especially if they're winning, which so far this year they look pretty darn good. To the caller's other points, though, because he did mention the two games, Jacksonville and Baltimore. I'm with you. Bills are 5.5-point favorites at home against Jacksonville. They look like a terrible team, and the Bills have literally never in my life played well against the Jaguars. I have seen the Blake Bortles playoff game. I have seen the Urban Meyer game, and I saw last year's London game, and none of them give me any sort of confidence going forward with that game. But also, they should win it. They should. They look like the better team. The vibes are way better there. Again, we're 2 games in for the Jags this year, but they've also lost 7 straight going back to last year. They look awful. They don't look good by any means. They played a bad game against Miami, and Miami was able to come back and win it, even though Jags really should have had that game pretty much in the bag. And then they just never looked right in week 2. It never looked good going forward. And then Baltimore, Lamar Jackson scares me until he plays the Bills. He has not had a great time against Buffalo in his career.
I think every game, I don't know if every game he's lost, but I know he doesn't have a great record against the Bills.
His
statistically,
2019 year, he did win it, but it came down to the last drive.
Right.
It's an throw to John Brown that's a little errant, but
I remember, I mean, obviously the Taron Johnson pick 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that right there in the playoffs. And then last or 2 years ago, you were at the game. The Bills were losing 20-3 and come back and win it.
Yeah.
Like, no problem.
There's a rain game, don't get me wrong. Allen's stats also did not look that great.
Yeah.
But up to this point, he has not had a truly dominant game. Mm-hmm. Up to this point, in terms of regular season, he has a passer rating of 79.2, 313 yards, passing, 4 touchdowns, and 3 picks.
Against the Bills.
This is against the Bills. Okay. And then, of course, the playoff game as well, which is the famous pick 6 to Taron Johnson.
Yep.
Ultimately, a very low-scoring game. But he has not been the, oh my God, we are playing, you know, a superhero against the Bills, and the defense has been firing on all cylinders. I'm actually very excited for that game in Baltimore. I think it's going to be Monday Night Football as well, or Sunday Night Football. It's another primetime game. I'm excited for that one. That one should be great, but get me through.
That's Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football, but get me through the Jacksonville game, because I hate when they play the Jaguars. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get back to your calls after a quick timeout, and do stay tuned. It's at 11 o'clock. Paul Hamilton will join to talk the Peyton Krebs extension, which got announced today. 2 years, $1.45 million per year. And also, the Sabres Prospects Challenge ended last night, and Yuri Kulik had himself a tournament. We'll talk all that at 11 with Paul. But your call's up next. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Jack Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, we have been connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we're going to continue to do so as we go back to the phones. And we've got Kim on the line. Kim, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to weigh in really quick. I do think that it's very legit 2-0. I really like where the Bills' trenches are at, both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. Seems like they have a lot of moving pieces that I really, really like. And I was a big proponent of not getting rid of Von Miller this offseason when they were salary cap dumping, just because I knew that him coming back and being healthy could return to a shell, at least a shell of his, and he's just fantastic. But at any rate, I do have a question for you guys that I'd really like your advice on. I woke up to a fantasy trade request from somebody in my league this morning who, I just for context, I have James Cook, by the way, and somebody wants to trade me Josh Allen and Chris Olave for Kyler Murray and DK Metcalf. I have Kyler Murray and DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you guys think, just like outlook-wise, maybe recency bias. Do you think that that's something that I should entertain? Talk to me.
Kim, yeah, thanks for the call. So I own Olave in a few of my leagues, and he is deeply frustrating because the Saints are scoring, and he's not. And then Allen, of course, you do have all of the ability that he has, but the Bills themselves have not really gone to him too much. He has four touchdowns in game one. He has, a single touchdown against Miami. So, there's sort of this imbalance there. I love Kyler Murray. I think a lot of people did forget just how good he can be when healthy. And now you have Marvin Harrison Jr. there, and that looks to be a smash. And DK Metcalf. Geno Smith is maybe the most underrated quarterback in football. That man makes throws that has my jaw on the floor like once a week.
Also, their offense just looks completely different this year.
And real quick,
Kim, what are your other wide receivers? Do you need Metcalf or what's the deal there?
So, great question. I went heavy receiver because it is a PPR league, and that's why I actually lost Josh Allen. So I'm a big proponent of drafting Josh Allen every year. But anyways, here's my receiver. So I have CeeDee Lamb, who I drafted fourth overall. I have Garrett Wilson, who's just been an absolute disappointment. I have DJ Moore, who has also kind of been an absolute disappointment. And then DK Metcalf kind of rides the bench. It's a double flex league as well, which I can go heavy receiver. I can go four receivers at any given time. And I like the depth. It's just there's a lot of people who are kind of up and down, like Garrett Wilson and DJ Moore. So that's why I was kind of entertaining it. Olave, he gets a lot of the target share, which I like, where a lot of my other guys kind of aren't right now.
I do. As much as I was complaining about Olave, I really like him, and he is not leaving my starting lineup because the Saints look so good, and eventually he's going to pop. Metcalf can oftentimes be a boom or bust guy.
Honestly, I would try to maybe counter offer and put some other wide receivers in there, but I don't know. It seems like
I like the trade.
I kind of like it. I would maybe see if you could counter it, but at the same time, I think the trade as is. Why not give it a try? You get like Josh Allen, and that's. I think that makes up for the points you might miss out on Chris Olave every once in a while.
So the reason that I won't be able to counter and move off of DK Metcalf is because the person I'm trading with is a diehard Seahawks fan. So,
oh, okay. Well,
I want Allen, he wants DK. So that's
they're the main pieces. Then, I'd do it.
Honestly,
I would do it, Kim.
I would send it. Why not? Allen has the ability to get you the points. Like I said, to get you the points that Olave might just not be there every single week. But, it's Josh Allen. Come on. Right?
Yeah, and I have Cook. So it's one of those two is scoring, and it might be them at the same time.
That's true. Kim, thanks for the call, man. Good luck. I would absolutely pull the trigger on the trade. And yeah, there's always something nice about doubling up, and now you're seeing it as well. Allen joked, but it might be serious. Cook may actually get more of those one-yard carries touchdowns.
I did not think it was going to be that way this year. I stayed away from James Cook in fantasy because of that reason. And I feel really stupid right now.
Good luck, Kim. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in. How serious do you believe the Bills' 2-0 start is, especially when looking around the rest of the AFC? Bengals and Ravens both 0-2. Pittsburgh, due to the mandate of heaven, 2-0 have scored a single touchdown in two games. It's so predictable. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. But coming up next, we're going to switch a little bit over to hockey, talk the Sabres with Paul Hamilton. Peyton Krebs gets his extension, and the Sabres wrapped up their prospect challenge last night. We'll get his thoughts on those after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.